faith come and the preach, you give attention to the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be here this morning.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather be here than anywhere else. A lot of people, churches probably closed their doors this morning because it's too cold. I wonder how they made it way back in them days and they had to ride horse and buggy and all that stuff. Get out and walk and snow, go to church. You know, I reckon they had attendance. I reckon people just didn't come. We live in a weak society, buddy. I mean, hey, they're just weak and can't handle nothing. I mean, it's just got to be something else. Have your Bible open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, we're starting a new year, and another year I'm looking for the Lord to come.
Yes, sir.
I looked for Him all every day last year, and I just didn't see Him come yet. When He comes, I'm going to know it. He's not going to come and leave me behind, because I know when that trumpet sounds, I'm getting out of here. And I'm not going to be, you might be left here, but I guarantee you one thing, I'm not going to be left here. There ain't no way. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, God, for what You've done. God, what You're going to do. Lord God, I pray, oh God, that You touch my lips, Lord, and don't let me preach anything contrary to teaching the will of God. God, You called me to preach. I can't preach apart from Thee, Lord. God, I'm clothed with the power of God, and help me. I pray You help the continuing services today. In Jesus' name I pray for His sake. Amen. Over here in verse 5, down in verse number 16, chapter 5, rather, 2 Corinthians 5:16. It says, wherefore, hence know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth we know Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. And the things, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the mystery of reconciliation. And to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we did beseech you as by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin, made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, and that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I mean, them words in our reading kind of trick you up a little bit, but it's got a lot of meaning in that. And in this year, you know, it's going to be like, is it going to be like last year? You know, people make all these new resolutions, and you know, I just wonder how many of you have ever kept a resolution? Oh, this year I'm going to do this year I'm going to do that. All you're doing is lying to yourself. You ain't going to do it. If you're not going to do it because you want to do it, you're not going to do it.
Right.
Just because you say, you go, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. You probably gain 100 pounds. I don't know. But I tell you what, you know, Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to break it. And things are going to change for the better, you know, or for the worse. And that's one thing for sure. It's either going to get better or it's going to get worse. And all of us, sometimes, we're going to read our Bible. Say we're going to read our Bible more. We're going to pray more. We're going to visit more. We're going to go out and see the sick more. And, you know, we got all these things in our mouth. We're going to do more. You know, we're going to do more. But yet we don't do it. I mean, and why don't we do it? Because we're in the flesh. That's why. This flesh don't want to do nothing. You don't want to do nothing for God. This flesh hates God. I got a few things I want to look at in the new year. It said here in 2 Corinthians 5:17 down to my text. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yes.
I want to preach on all things new.
Right.
All things new. We need to take today and look at ourselves and see what can we make new in our life. What can we do new in our family? What can we do new with our church? What can we do that's going to help our church and help the people of God? What can you do that's going to help your family? What are you going to do that when crisis arises? Are you going to have the power of God where you can pray and God help you? Are you just going to have to go through and fumble around and confess all these sins and get all this stuff right before you get in touch with God? No, I want a new perspective on life. That's what I want. I want a new perspective. I don't want to look out there and see the same old thing. I want to see God in His glory. I want to see the power of God come down. I want to see God move in this year coming. I'm looking for Him each and every day. But I tell you what, God is coming. The Lord's going to call one day. That trumpet's going to sound. We're going to get out of here. You better get a new perspective on life and quit going around and being so sorry and lazy and forgetting God, not reading your Bible and not praying and forgetting about your children and not trying to raise them in the admonition of the Lord. It's your responsibility to do them things. Respective, it means a visible scene, especially one extended into a distance. I want a perspective that when I look out through the yard, I can see that I'm going to do something for God this year. I want to do more than I've ever done. I want to preach more than I ever preached. I want to pray more than I ever prayed. That's not no resolution. That's just what I want to do.
Right.
I want to be what God had me to do.
Right.
I can't do what God wants you to do. Brother Jim can't do what God wants. But I want to do what God wants me to do.
Right.
When He says do it, I want to step up and do it. I want to have the perspective of looking out in this world and seeing lost people going to hell.
Right.
When you go, I hate to go to Walmart. You go in there and all these people and stuff, and just makes me nervous in there. And you go in there, and you got all these people, but you get to looking at them.
Yeah.
And they just cover them. If you got a tattoo, that's you between you and God. But I'll tell you, these people go in there and they cover from head to toe.
Yeah.
What in God's name are they doing?
Right.
What caused them to do that?
Right.
I tell you why would you have them on your face and your head? Why would you have fish hooks hanging out of your lips?
Yeah.
I tell you, they go over and these people smitten their ears and big old eerie, like natives in Africa. Hey, you want to go to Africa? Go over and live with them. I tell you what, I'm living here, but I want to live for God. I want to be dressed right. I want to look right. I want to talk right. I want to come to the house of God because I've got a new perspective that we're going to come in here and God's going to meet with us and the glory's going to come down and we're going to praise God and give Him all the glory and thanks for it. A lot of you ain't even know what it's like to see the glory of God. You don't know what it's like for God to move in a service. We've had some around here. God move in. And buddy, that one gets to crying, testifying, somebody else testifying, people crying. You can't hardly breathe. I mean, you feel like you can't breathe. And God is in the place. Like a fog on the place. I'm telling you, I want a new perspective of this year of God coming and meeting with
us.
I can't have that all by myself. You got to get it too. You got to get it. You ever realize that some of you don't never even raise your hands? You never praise God. I don't know none of some of you testify. You never testify. What is wrong? Don't go getting quiet on me. I mean, what's wrong with people? I mean, God does something for you. And God, you pray, and God does something for you. And you think, and you come in here, you don't tell nobody about it. You don't give God no glory for it. You don't praise God. You don't say hallelujah. Hey, you've heard me many times. I pray about it just because God had a little nut, a bolt get loose on a car I was working on. I said, hey, I don't mind. God does something I praise Him for because He's my God.
Amen.
But we sit here. If we're going to have a church with a new perspective, we're going to have to get our hearts right. We're going to have to get our tongues right, our mouth right, to be able to feel the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about some junk just getting up rattling off at the mouth. I mean, you know when God's moving.
Right.
Hey, if God don't move on me, I don't get up and testify. Well, I feel the power of God. I feel that God's shaking me there. Hey, I want to give and praise God and give Him the glory. A new perspective. We need a new perspective. Hey, you drug this old wild old body around. If I'd be 41 years in August, I'd be saved. And I tell you what. I drug it around. And there's one thing about it. I've been out of the will of God before, and I know what it is to be down and out. And buddy, I know what it is to be in the glory. I know what it is to be right with God. And God can speak to your heart. And God can talk to you. And God can shake you. And boy, you get to praising God. And just have a great time in the house of God. What do you think they're going to do today? On a football game. They're going to be running around screaming, hollering at their TV set, all kind of stuff. I could care less about that junk. Thank God. Give me an old time fashioned servant in the house of God. Where you're praising God and the Spirit of God's moving through and you can feel it in your heart, not your feet. Thank God. Talking about a perspective, getting a new perspective, a new sight on things. And then it says in 5:17, we're going to talk about a new person. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things behold, all things are become new. A new person. A new person. I tell you, it doesn't say here a new creation. Now, we're in a creation, God's creation. But God made me a new creature. There's many creatures out there. And God changed me like, I was a snake and He changed me to an eagle. That's what I like. Well, just an example. God changed me and made me a new creature in Christ. That old Adam nature, that old wicked, vile nature that I once had, I don't have it no more. I tell you, you might have the flesh still bothering you. I tell you, but I don't have that old nature and I don't think about them old things I used to do. I don't want to go out and do them old things I used to do. Can you imagine? Are you going to God? You're right with God. You're going to a beer. How in the world would you feel? My goodness gracious! I'm glad I don't worry about that no more. Hallelujah! I'm glad August 15, 1976, God took that away from me. Thank God! I'm glad I was 5 seats back in the church and I was in, and God got a hold of my heart. And I'm there on the right side of them down here, and the man that. The deacon turned down. He said, are you saved? I said, yeah. I just want to dedicate my life. Hey, my heart was crying out, God, I don't want to go to hell. How did God save me? I didn't say the right words according to men. I didn't read the scripture according to men. I done that one time and that didn't work. Hey, God took me as I am.
Amen. Thank God.
God knew my heart. God knew my heart. God saved my soul. God made me a new creature. Hey, I didn't realize what had happened at the moment. I didn't jump up and go outside and see birds all new and flowers all blooming pretty and all that. I didn't see all that. I got saved. I thought I got my heart right. But God saved me. I got up from there. And went back, and my wife, she was a preacher's daughter. She raised up all her life in church. And my wife, we come back, I sit down, And she thought, oh, I wonder if we'll be back. And then comes Sunday, Wednesday, she wanted to know, we going to church? Yeah, we're going to church.
Yeah.
Hey, brother. Yeah. Well, man, something happened in my heart.
Yeah.
Hey, and then every time church fell, we was in church. And God, I got to thinking, I told her, hey, I think God saved me.
Right.
I just think God saved me. And God saved me, put me a new heart.
Right.
And
but
I got to talking about Jesus. And I'd go to work and they'd tell me, hey, just leave your religion outside. I can't hang it up like a coat on the door. Hey, God, I don't have religion. I have salvation. Thank God. There's a difference in religion and salvation. The Catholics has got religion, but they ain't going to die and go to hell if they believe what they believe. Thank God I got saved that day. I become a new creature in Christ. Praise God, hallelujah. You don't know how I was. I know how I was. Thank God you saved me, Lord. I tell you, we're a new person. You're a new person. Hey, in Christ, nothing remains the same. Holy Spirit came into me and got a hold of me and took them old things away. He took all the old things that I wanted to do. I didn't want to do them no more. I didn't want to do them no more. I tell you, God makes a difference in your life. The Lord makes a difference. What are you going to do this year? Are you going to stand for God and be a testimony for God? Are you going to be a witness for God? Are you going to let it be just like every other year?
Right.
Jesus is coming. Don't you believe that?
Right. Amen. Yes.
I don't want to be slouched. I wish to God if He called, I'd be preaching somewhere. I'd be praying somewhere. Just doing something for God. I tell you what, all things are new. We got a new person. We got a new perspective on life. And we're a new person. And we need to show this world that we're a new person. And then we got a new purpose. A new purpose. I got a new purpose. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us His ministry of reconciliation. And it tells me here, all things here are new. And God makes it all new. And they're no longer, I'm no longer living in myself.
Right.
I'm not living in myself. You know, when I got saved, the old spirit and soul and the flesh was all together. When God got saved, God come in there and circumcised me, cut that old flesh away from the spirit. Woo, hallelujah. He cut the flesh away from the spirit. Oh, He took that old flesh and separated us. So then now, that's why you have so much trouble with the flesh. Because the spirit ain't the same. The soul in there is not the same. It don't want to do what the flesh wants to do. It says, hey, no, let's go over here and hear the word of God. The flesh says, no, let's go to the races. No, let's go to the movie. Hey, God, you got to fight the flesh. And just sometimes, kick yourself, slap yourself, whatever, and say, no, we're going to God's house.
Right. Right. Yes.
You know, I'm telling you the truth.
Right.
Flesh is weak. Flesh don't want to do nothing for God. I tell you, and purpose here, that's the reason of which something exists or is done. So what is your purpose for living? Purpose. That's the reason you do something. Your purpose in your heart, because you're going to do something. It said here, and all things of God who have reconciled us to Him by Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled to Jesus Christ. We've come together with Christ. I'm glad where I go, Christ goes. Hey, I don't want to take Him in no places I shouldn't be, where God wouldn't want to be. I wouldn't want to embarrass the Lord and doing something that I shouldn't be doing. But I thank God that God is always with me and I'm toward us up. But I tell you what, I'm glad today, all you got to do is to be a new person. as you get saved and born again. But I tell you what, give all you have to God. Don't give Him just a little bit.
Right.
Give it all to God.
Yeah.
Some of you, you got talents, you never use them.
Right.
You never use them. He always took them away from you. Some of you can sing. Some of you can play instruments. You can do all kind of things for God. But yet you will not do them.
Right.
Because you will not have the making your heart the purpose to do for God that you one time did.
Right.
Hey, when God saved me, we went all the time to church. I took my kids all the time. It snowed, whatever. One day it was snowing like crazy. And my mom and dad know they quit telling me not to go no more. So they called me up and they said, "You be careful." Because they know we was going to church. In our heart, we purposed. And that one Sunday, we went over and all got snowed in. Stayed over at the preacher's house about 9 o'clock that night. Time I got home, somebody had to bring me home. Got home, and my commode was froze solid. My oil wasn't working. We ran out of oil. Didn't have nothing but a wood stove. Oh, a fireplace.
Yeah.
You ever slept in front of a fireplace? That ain't no fun. You lay on one side and you cook a while. Then you turn on another side and you cook a while. Then you turn back and you cook a while. Hey, I tell you what. I'm thank God now I got electric heat. Just flip the button. But I tell you what. You got to have a purpose in this life. What are you going to do? What does your neighbors think about you? Do they look at you and say, "Well, there they go again. They going to church. Have they got you down like clockwork?" You got to have a purpose in life to know where you're going and what you're doing. When Christ saved your soul, He gave you a purpose to live for Him. And we're to live for Him. We're not to go around half-hearted. People are half-hearted. They don't live for God all the way. They always got something wrong. Do you know that there's always something wrong with some people? I mean, you can ask me anytime. Yeah, there's something wrong with me. I heard that. But there's one thing about it. My heart is on God, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And but I tell you what, I want to go be with the Lord. I want to do the right thing, preacher.
Yeah.
I want to go to the right places. Be in the right spot.
Yeah.
Amen.
You might have problems, might have something wrong with you, but you can still live for God. Still live for God.
Right.
I tell you, a heavenly calling, a new purpose. You got a heavenly calling on you. And 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let them the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is an image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants of Jesus' sake, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded His love to shine out of darkness, has shined His heart in our hearts, and to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the fact of Jesus Christ." Thank God I've got the light in my heart, and I want the light to shine, that I might be good, be good, come amongst sinners, and they'll see something different from me.
Yeah.
I got a message on camouflage Christians, and I preached it one time. I saw a priest. I had my camouflage all over me, and I went into the school where I was preaching it, and them teachers were looking at me weird because they didn't know I was going to come like that. But that's how people are. The camouflage.
Right.
Oh, you come to church, you all dressed up and ready, you looking like a Christian, but really you're in camouflage.
Right.
You don't have a purpose. You know, he ain't got a purpose like he should have. And then, best of all, a new power. A new power. I'm glad I got a new power in my life. I ain't got the old devil pushing me around, making me do stuff. I mean, he might tell me to do this and try to get me to do that, but I'm glad I can cry out to God because I got a new power inside of me now. I'm not going on that old power no more. I'm not doing the world, the things of the flesh no more. I don't want to satisfy this flesh. I want to satisfy the Spirit in me, but I want to give God the glory. I want to have God's praise. I want to pray Him and give Him all the glory and honor for what He's done.
Amen.
A new power. I mean, people, it says in John Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces? I mean, the word of God, buddy, should be strong on you. I mean, when you get it strong on you, and the Holy Ghost is moving, I don't understand for the life of me. I mean, while God moves on me, and I pray to the Lord, I don't get up and look around and everything, but I don't understand it, preacher. I don't understand how the power that's in God, in the Lord Jesus, the power that's in Him can come in here and blow through this place, and God can get a hold of your heart, and you just sit there and you don't even pay attention. You don't do nothing. You don't smile. You don't raise your hand to God. Take your handkerchief and wave it. Hey, if I can't get where I can't talk, I just wave my handkerchief. Hey, thank God. Just give God the glory. Let the devil know that you're giving God the glory. That God's got the power over your life. The new power. I tell you, that power is so strong, the devil's got to flee from it. Romans 1:6 says, "Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God in the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I tell you what, a lot of people's ashamed. They go out and they go to say the blessing and they got the nose scratchers. They do this. They go and say the blessing and then they got the ear. They'll do like this rubber head. And then they'll bend over, you know, and they'll say the blessing. Scared that somebody still say the blessing. Why are you praying? Hey, I say the blessing. When my kids was real little, I'd have it all bow our heads and say the blessing. And I'd hear people saying, "Look at them, look at them, look at them." Hey, I look at people all the time and watch them. What are they going to say the blessing?
Yeah.
I watch them.
Sure.
I watch all kinds of things. I watch. My wife says, "How do you see all that stuff?" I watch. I can't help. I watch. Ain't nobody going to come up and shoot me without me watching. I tell you that. I'm going to have my chance too. Hey, in this life, buddy, you better be right. Because you don't know when you're going to die. I mean, God, your time's going to come up. But, you know, you don't know when it's going to be. You don't know who. You might be in a store somewhere. And the way this damn time is, being there and some guy come in there and bomb the place. And there you are, you're dead. You know, you don't know. I want that power of God. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing and asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I tell you what, when the first time I heard that word of God, and you know, it didn't bother me that much because I went to church to start with because I met my wife. I went there just to be there because I wanted to be with her. And you got to realize I was a Lutheran. And here I went into a Baptist church. And I didn't understand what all was going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had my eyes fixed on something other than the Lord. But I tell you what, tonight I got saved. And me and my wife had done been married for a year. And I tell you, God come in that church. And God come in and got down beside of me. And God got to talking to my heart.
Yeah.
God got to whisper in my ear saying, "Hey, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell is what's going to happen to you." And that power of God was moving on my heart. And my wife seen me slipping down in the sea. She said, "Well, he won't come back no more." Hey, that was about 41 years. Be 41 years ago. I've been coming ever since. Hallelujah. Thank God. That's what Jesus does. He'll make a difference in your life. He'll change your life. Because the power of God is more power than you can ever handle.
Amen.
Thank God. I'm glad the power of God saved my soul. And we started going every time the bus, they'd have a bus going singing somewhere at another church, going to a revival. But we was always on the bus riding. Thank God. I raised my kids up in the house of God. Kept them in the house of God. Tried to teach them the things of God.
Yeah.
Did it work out? Well, I didn't know if it was or not, but finally in the end it worked out.
Yeah.
We had our problems.
Yeah.
Things happened in our lives.
Uh-huh.
My kids got unruly and did things they shouldn't. But I tell you what, I didn't quit praying for them. I kept praying for them. Kept asking God to help them. Asking God to get a hold of them. I tell you what, and God done it. No other man. God seen God move when no man could move.
Right.
And people today say, well, I can't handle little Junior. He's just so mean. Well, take him back there and beat the devil out of him.
Right.
Bring him back. Set him down.
Amen.
Hey, I tell you what, that's the problem with things.
Right.
You say, you're mad. No, I'm preaching. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm telling you what, my kids, they get to crying and everything. We'd do everything we could to get them to be quiet. They wouldn't be quiet. I'd take them outside. Hey, it's not the wife to do it. I took them outside. I'd wear their hound in out.
Right.
I'd bring them back in, sit them down. They'd snub and cry, and then they want to get away with their mama. They don't want to sit beside daddy no more. They get away with their mama. But they'd be quiet. But boy, but they, I got them for every time I stood up, they know they're going out. Hey, I tell you what, all I had to do was stand up. And when I stood up, they shut up.
Amen.
Don't tell me you can't teach them.
Right.
You can teach them.
Yeah.
All I had to do was sit back down. Oh, everything was fine then.
Yeah.
They weren't a mama, but they was fine then. And I tell you what, this day and time in churches, they don't respect God in the house of God. They don't respect God. The kids take chewing gum and stick it under the seat. God help you, kids. I tell you what, they write in the books. They tear the seats right on the walls. I tell you what, we're living in an age where they don't believe in the power of God. They don't believe where God is the ruling king. All they can think about is all these games of blood and guts, the zombie apocalypse or whatever it is. That's all they think about. They don't think about the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. They don't think about the power that was unleashed that day on God Jesus, God's Son, trying to kill him, trying to keep him from going to the cross. But yet he went there anyway. Now he shed his blood and died for it. His kids don't worry about that. All they worry about is getting on them games, getting on them toys. I'm telling you, we need to take some of this junk and throw it in the garbage. The sad thing about it, some parents is as bad as the kids.
That's right.
They learn from example.
Right.
Line upon line, precept upon precept.
Right.
You say, well, I don't have no kids. Well, when you do, raise them right. I tell you what, just turn my mind. We was in a church. We was born in this church. And this preacher, I love that preacher to death. And he had this young, bold preacher come in there. And he had a wife and a little baby. And he gets up there, and man, I didn't know where to move. I didn't know what to. Hey, you scratch the way he talks, if you scratch your head, you're going to hell. If you rub your nose, you're going to hell. Everything you did, you're going to hell. Oh, I see the same hypocrites here that was here last year. That's what he said. He got up there saying all that stuff, and he talked about how his daughter was going to, date since she was 18, and then that's good. And he talked about what she was going to do and what he's going to do. And I looked over there, little bitty baby. I thought, oh, buddy, you got a lot to learn. Yes, sir, buddy. It's easy to sit there and run your mouth. It's easy to sit there and tell your people what you're going to do and how you're going to raise them and how they should be. But I tell you what, they got a mind of their own. And I tell you what, when they get up old enough, hey, they'll leave you sitting at your house crying like a baby, wondering where they're at in the middle of the night, a year later still crying, looking for them. And then I tell you, you better not say what you're going to do, because you don't know that's what you're going to do. I went up to the preacher that was there. I said, brother, I don't want to be mean or nothing, but I'll never come back here to this man again. But he tricked me. He tricked me. He didn't tell us he was having him there one day. And I come out, there he was again. I didn't know where to get up and walk out. I thought, well, we'll give him another chance. You know, he preached pretty good that time. He did. The preacher said he had a little talk with him. I think he had a big talk with him. Because he didn't preach good.
Yeah.
He didn't do all that. Hey, you can nail people's hides to the wall, and you can tell them you can't smoke, you can't do this, you can't do that, and just nail them to the wall, and then you got a bunch of hides nailed on the wall.
That's right.
You don't have nobody in the church worshiping, praising God. Hey, I want you to praise God. I want to see a church on fire for God. I know Brother Hyde wants to see people praise the Lord, give Him glory. Hey, if God don't do nothing but give you a drink of water, He said praise Him for all things. I tell you what, it's a new year. And a new power there. A new purpose. And the Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, I don't think I read it, if I didn't read it again. For the word of God is quick, and it's quick. It is, but it'll kick your heart. Oh my goodness. And it's powerful. It's like a sharper than a two-edged sword. It just pierces and thins you and just gets you by the gut and just tears you up. The word of God does. And dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm telling you what, when a man of God's preaching and the power of God's on him and it hits you, just say, oh me. There ain't no need you saying, I ain't coming back. You just say, oh me. And go down to the altar and cry out to God. Let God forgive you what you've done. Father, this life is, buddy. These people, these churches are scared of the power of God. They're afraid they're going to have some kind of wildfire. They're going to go crazy. I reckon some of them they do. But hey, I tell you what. You get right with God, there will be no wildfire. You'll have the fire of God in your heart. You'll have a purpose to where you praise God and give God glory and honor for everything. We'll have a church where people are praising the Lord. I tell you what, God is so good. The Lord is so good to me. Just to think on your life, back on 2017, what all did God do for you? He blessed me so much. He gave me so much. He let me breathe another day.
Right.
I tell you, I have my aches and pains and hurt, but at least I'm not in a wheelchair rolling around and can't do nothing. Hey, thank God. God has blessed me tremendously in the Word of God. Blessed me with a church, with people who love God, with a pastor who preaches the Word of God, who doesn't bend or bow to the world, who doesn't give in to the things of the world. That means all to me. 2 Timothy 2:17, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yeah.
Hey, don't run around here being scared. I don't need to be afraid.
No.
I mean, it's naturally your body. You got to get afraid. They talking about the button on the desk of North Korea's got, and Trump telling me he's got a bigger button. I tell you what, I don't care who hits the button. I just hope they hit it. It's just all over. We're out of here. I tell you, that's what, I mean, you see all these countries beaten, battered and everything. I hope it don't come to that. But I tell you what, God still, He won't forget you. He says He'll never forget you. He'll never forsake you. I tell you what, He'll be with us in the bad times. He's with us in the good times. I'm glad I'm serving a living God. I'm not serving an old dead God who's over there in a tomb, who's in a shrine thing, who's setting up a big fat gold statue, and everybody's got to come in and bend and bow. Hey, I'm glad when I cry out to God, He hears me. I don't have to get down and bend down. Bow to Him 100 times. Thank God I can stand and pray. I can roll on the grass. I can stand on my head. Whatever I want to do it, and pray and talk to God. And He'll hear me. He'll hear me. Matter of fact, He leaned over to hear me. Man, that's good. I like it. I like it whether you do or not. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. My faith, it doesn't stand in the wisdom of man. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where my faith is. And then last of all, it's New Year. That means us, we've got a new position. A new position. I'm saved. God saved my soul. He's saving from all the things of the world. Hey, God, Jesus died. He didn't become a sinner. He took away sin. He took our sins. He wasn't no sinner, but He took our sins upon Himself. And He took them all upon Himself that we sinners would not have to bear the sins that we've done. And we cry out to Him and we accept Him as our Savior and we get born again. He saves us. He washes us clean with His blood. Thank God. Can you imagine? 1 minute I'm lost, I'm full of the devil. Now I'm a child of the King. Jesus Christ has come inside of me. He's living within me, the Holy Ghost. Here you come see me. Hey, I'm righteous through Jesus Christ. Somebody says, he's just an old bum. Hey, no. Thank God I'm a child of the King.
Yeah.
Thank God I don't go around here and worry about where I'm going.
All
right. No, sir, buddy.
All right.
God, preacher, you got the power. God, Christ is in you.
Right, sir.
Man, the right hold. I tell you what God showed me. God showed me that, hey, that's not just the preacher. That's the preacher and Jesus in him.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God. Thank God I'm glad the Lord is with me. But a new position as Christ died on the cross in our stead. So we take the gospel to others and say, as we died for us, we take the gospel out to others. And in verse 20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, and though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ to stand being reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be the sin of us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Him. I tell you, an ambassador. You're made ambassador. Ambassador means a diplomatic official of high rank sent to a sovereign or state of another country and to represent the king or represent the president. Can you imagine that? God made us. Jesus made us ambassadors.
Yeah.
We're ambassadors. You say, well, I'm not no preacher. But you're still an ambassador. Preacher has more on him. But I tell you, you're an ambassador. And what are you showing where you go? Where you go to work? Where you go play? Wherever you might go to school? What kind of ambassador are you? What kind are you representing Jesus Christ in the way that He should be? Are you representing Him like you a camouflaged Christian? What are you doing? How do you represent the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah. Right.
Ambassador.
Yeah.
Ambassador,
yeah.
Brother. Thank God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Hey, I didn't ask God to call me to preach. But, I'm glad He did. Hey, I could never preach if it had not been for God.
Right.
I told you before, I'm an introvert and I just don't like things. I don't like a lot of people and I don't like doing things and stuff. I don't like confronting stuff. But you know what? When God get up here and God gets on me and I get to preaching. Hey, God, if something happens to me, they can't, nothing else. Oh, two brothers couldn't do nothing to you. I tell you what, Jesus Christ puts inside of you and He gets you say and do what He wants you to. But last of all, Ephesians 6:19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, and I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. How are you walking this year? Are you going to be the ambassador you're supposed to be? How's your purpose in life? How's your perspective? How are you looking at 2017? Oh, no, just another year. No, buddy, I'm looking day by day, minute by minute. I'm expecting him to come.
Amen.